Hello and welcome to episode 36 of Celiac.com Podcast Edition. In this episode, we talk about new links between Crohn's disease and celiac, the possibility of gluten intolerance without celiac symptoms, hypoallergenic wheat, eating wheat to test for celiac, a gluten-detecting dog, an impossibly easy dinner pie. Celiac.com Podcast Edition is your regular update on news and important topics from our website. Please leave a comment on our blog or write to the Podcast Edition directly. Our email address is podcast@celiac.com. Celiac.com Podcast Edition is sponsored by the Gluten-Free Mall. Since 1998, the Gluten-Free Mall has provided safe and convenient online shopping for people on restricted diets due to celiac disease, autism, ADHD, or other health reasons. The Gluten-Free Mall has the best prices and selection of gluten-free, wheat-free, casein-free, and other allergy-related health foods and special dietary products that you can find on the internet. Here's a special offer for our podcast listeners. If you shop at the Gluten-Free Mall between now and December 31st, 2011, use the term PODCAST11, that's podcast in all small letters, followed by the number 11, and get a 10% discount. Here's how you do it. When you're ready to check out from the Gluten-Free Mall, you'll see a coupon code box next to your total. To get your 10% off, make sure you write the term PODCAST11 using all small letters and the numerals 1-1. This does not count for shipping or taxes, limit one per customer, and offer not valid with other specials or promotions. Now, the news. New links between Crohn's and celiac. A research team examining associations between celiac and Crohn's disease has now confirmed four common genetic variations. Their study focused on genetic variants that trigger inflammation in the gut. Their discovery may help to explain why people with celiac disease suffer Crohn's disease at higher rates than the general population. Better understanding of the genetic connections will likely pave the way for new treatments for symptoms common to both conditions. The study used a new method of analysis called a genome-wide association study, or GWAS. This allows researchers to look at hundreds of thousands of genetic variations called single nucleotide polymorphisms, or SNPs, that may be involved in any one of these diseases. The first three genetic variants are involved in T lymphocyte function, say the scientists. They seem to govern how these cells respond to a given stimulus. In celiac disease, gluten-induced intestinal inflammation causes damage that prevents the intestine from absorbing nutrients in food. This can cause a wide range of problems, from anemia to osteoporosis to lactose intolerance. In Crohn's disease, inflammation of the digestive tract often causes the bowel to empty frequently, resulting in diarrhea, among other problems. Some research shows that people with one condition are more likely to have the other. One study, for example, found that more than 18.5% of people with Crohn's disease also have celiac disease. Gluten intolerance without celiac. A team of Australian researchers has shown that people can suffer gluten intolerance without celiac disease. For this study, 34 volunteers were all fed bread and muffins, half of which contained gluten, half of which were gluten-free. Nearly 70% of the volunteers who ate the gluten reported pain, bloating, toilet problems, and extreme tiredness. The lead scientist states, "Gluten is indeed a trigger of gut symptoms and tiredness. These symptoms have a big impact on one's quality of life, but conservative medicine has not been so good at dealing with this because we haven't had any direct evidence." The researchers of this study call the general lack of research into gluten intolerance almost unbelievable. They plan now to investigate the prevalence of non-celiac gluten intolerance, why it occurs, and whether low levels of gluten can actually be eaten safely. Hypoallergenic wheat. A team of researchers recently set out to establish a universal approach to eliminate disease-triggering properties of alpha-gliadin peptides from wheat in celiac disease. Research has shown that alpha-gliadins contain several major epitopes involved in celiac disease pathogenesis. Eliminating such epitopes from the alpha-gliadins would be a major step toward eliminating gluten toxicity in wheat. the team proved that by introduction of naturally occurring variations to the alpha-gliadins, they can generate genes that will not create toxic peptides. That is, they are close to creating a wheat that will not trigger allergic reactions. And now for some popular topics from celiac.com. Eating wheat for the celiac test. Question: do I have to reintroduce gluten in order to have an accurate gluten sensitivity test? Answer: no. If a person knows they're sensitive to gluten and has adopted the gluten-free diet but wants to ingest gluten ever again, they are up for some difficulty. There are many cases of damage, and some of them permanent, from reactions to reintroducing gluten to the diet, even just for diagnosis. So rest assured, gluten ingestion is no longer a requirement for diagnosing celiac disease. One of four people sensitive to gluten who went gluten-free and eliminated all of their symptoms developed autoimmune diseases within 3 years of eating gluten again. If you know you're gluten sensitive and you're on a gluten-free diet and you want some kind of proof that you're better, then testing will confirm whether you have been successful in quieting down the inflammatory cascade that often sets one up for autoimmune disease. If your question is, am I sensitive to wheat at all, then when your gluten sensitivity test comes back positive, it is confirming that your immune system is reacting to gluten exposure. But if you're not eating any gluten, then it can only be one of a few things: hidden exposure to gluten, a cross-reactive food, cross-reactive virus or bacteria, or a poorly functioning GI tract. Otherwise, it's an unknown cause, which could potentially mean refractory sprue. The gluten-detecting dog. A recent article in USA Today tells the story of a gluten-detecting dog. The dog was trained in Slovenia over many weeks. Now he can detect gluten in all sorts of hot and cold foods. Apparently, teaching a dog to be alert to the scent of gluten is much more complicated than other scent detection training. Because gluten comes in so many forms, gluten can appear in bread and cereal products, but it's also processed many different ways. It can appear in less obvious products such as binders, or thickeners, or in foods like salad dressing, or even in products like Play-Doh or lipstick. So how does it work? Well, the owner places a cover punctured with holes over the item while the dog sniffs it. They practice this on a daily basis, and once the dog detects gluten, he pulls at the item, and if there's nothing to worry about, he looks away. Getting a gluten-detecting dog may not be an option for many celiacs, but perhaps in the future, gluten-detection dogs will be more widely used. Impossibly easy dinner pie. This recipe comes to us from the Winter 2011 Journal of Gluten Sensitivity. Your ingredients are as follows: 1 cup gluten-free Bisquick and 1/2 cup of milk and 1 egg. 2 cups leftover meat or chicken diced. 1.5 cups gluten-free gravy or condensed cream of mushroom soup. And 2 cups leftover mixed vegetables. So mix the chicken and the vegetables together. Place into an ungreased 9-inch pie plate. Stir together. Cover with the Bisquick. Bake 30 minutes until top is golden brown. And that's all for this episode of the podcast edition from everyone here at celiac.com. Thank you for listening.